This is the Automotive Repair Podcast Network.
Welcome to another episode of Business by the Numbers. I'm your host, Hunt Emrys, CPA with Parmelis & Associates. So this week we have an interesting topic, and it all surrounds the magic question of how much should I be spending on advertising? Should it be based on my goals? Should it be based on my sales now? Is there a good rule of thumb to use for my shop? And is that an oversimplification and I could actually be comparing myself to not really the same kind of business that I have or what I'm trying to build? But everything in between on advertising and advertising budget is exactly what we're going to talk about this week. Before we get into that, I just want to stop and say thank you to you and the rest of the dedicated listeners. Remember, if you have a question for me or just want to hear a question answered on here, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Want to talk to us about accounting and tax services for your repair shop? Shoot us a text at 301-307-5413. And last but not least, we cannot forget our dedicated sponsors, Promotive and Wicked File. If you need to recruit top talent, do like a lot of other listeners have and call Promotive. And if you need to get your parts reconciliation or entire back office under control, give Wicked File a call as well. If you're looking for a full-service staffing solution that does everything from sourcing, qualifying, creating job descriptions, scheduling interviews, to negotiating job offers, Promotive is your answer. Visit them online at gopromotive.com. Turn chaos into clarity with Wicked File, the AI for auto repair shops. Transform invoices into insights, protect cash flows, and stop losing parts, cores, or credits to maximize your bottom line. Get Wicked File. This week, we are talking all about budgets, and more specifically, budgeting for advertising. I would like to say where this question came from, but I've talked about this before. I get this question a lot from people. I just saw a face in a shop owners group where people were talking about this stuff. There is a lot of different ways to chop up advertising, and hopefully, at the end of this episode, you are going to realize that this number I'm about to give you is an oversimplification. But this number that I'm about to give you is probably exactly why you tuned into this episode. I've seen this post before. I've seen people ask, but there is a lot more to this. If you are sitting here and saying, Hunt, I'm trying to set my advertising budget for this upcoming year, what is the advertising budget that we should be setting? How do you do this as a dollar figure? We're going to talk about this in tons of detail. The general rule of thumb is 3 to 6% of sales. That's the industry standard. Every shop is a little bit different, but if you want to look at all of my shops right now, that is the range that they fall in. If you want to argue, hey, is 6% too expensive? Is 3% cheap? You could, and it does give me a little bit of a rule of thumb when I'm looking at things. But as we're about to talk about, it is much, much harder than that. I wish it was this simple, but it's just truly not. So the reason is because, yeah, if you look at all of my shops, I probably have shops in two different categories. Our number that we have, we measure all of this of the shops that we work with, they're averaging less than this. I think that the number I saw was around 2.7% the last time we did a benchmark. What does that 2.7% mean? It means that if they did $1 million in sales last year, they're spending 27 grand on advertising. Really what makes up those two different categories though, is I have some people that advertise, probably about half of my shops, and I have the other half of my shops that don't advertise at all. So if you look at this, I have one group that spends around 6% of their sales on advertising, and the other group spends virtually nothing. They just don't need to, don't have to, whatever it is. And I think that that highlights a very, very, very important point here, that this is not that easy, right? You aren't going to be able to say, well, I want to advertise a bunch. I'm going to do 6%. I'm going to advertise a little bit. I'm going to do 3%. No. Let's take an example of two different shops. If you're listening to this episode and you just started your shop this year, maybe even last year, throw the 3 to 6% out the window. You are going to probably have to spend much more than that because let's say your first month in sales is $3,000. If you use this budget as an example on it, then you're going to be spending what? Maybe $100 on advertising. I got to keep it within 3 to 6% of my sales. You got to be careful with these rules of thumbs here. But generally, what you're trying to do is spend 3 to 6% of the sales that you want to have. So if I just started my business and my sales are $1,000 a month, I could be spending 300% of my sales on advertising. But what I'm going to be looking at is saying, I ultimately am trying to spend $27,000 this year because I'm trying to get my sales to a million. If you start looking at this, you have to realize Where are my sales right now? Where am I trying to go? It might not be in line with what I'm doing right now, but it could match my goals for the future. This is kind of the first sanity check that I do with my clients, and I'll kind of give you the secrets on how I use this. If I'm looking at a shop and I'm kind of talking about business, looking at numbers on this, and they are telling me, Hunt, we really, really need to grow, right? We're in growth mode. We're trying to reinvest in this business and we need to get new customers. If I look at their books and I see that they're spending 6% of their sales on advertising, does that kind of match up with my expectations? Yeah, probably, right? It's kind of on the higher end of the range. Now, if I take a look at another shop on here and they say, Hunt, I'm in total growth mode, right? We're trying to get more cars here. We maybe even have a car count issue. And I notice they're spending 1% of their sales on advertising. What does that tell me? As a rule of thumb, it looks like that you're actually rather cheap on advertising, which would tell me you don't need new cars. But what you're trying to say is that you do need new cars. The reality doesn't match up to the expectation sometimes. The 3-6% of advertising on it is just that. It's just a rule of thumb. And probably anything 2-5%, there's not a whole lot you can gain there. Is 5% too much? I'll be spending 4%. It is very, very hard to use it. But like I said, if you're taking a look at your business and you're saying, I need cars, I need to grow, then you shouldn't be spending 1% of your sales on advertising. The same flip side, if you're thinking of, I got more cars than I know what to do with, our limiting factor is in no way, shape, or form cars or demand, then I would argue, why the heck are you spending 8% of your sales on advertising? What you really need to do here is you need to figure out what your pinch point is. Sometimes people look at this and say, we don't have enough production, we don't have enough sales, I need to do more advertising. But advertising is getting more cars into the door. It's going to get more phone calls coming to your advisors, coming to your counter. The first thing that you need to figure out is, what is your actual funnel point? Everyone always likes to kind of go towards advertising. If car count's low, if sales are low, hey, I need to advertise. When sometimes people need to take a look in the mirror and take a look at their own shop. If I have a slow shop and I'm not spending much on advertising, and I look out there and I see that we have cars that aren't completed, that need approvals, that we're still working on, then if I throw more advertising dollars at that, is it going to fix my problem? No, because my pinch point, my funnel point right now is production. I have enough man, I have enough cars on this. If I advertise even more, it's not going to fix my problem. It's actually going to compound the issue. The worst thing that you can do is have an inefficiency or productivity issue and try to throw more cars at it. Because not only are you not going to be able to pick up that work or that opportunity, you're also going to give the customer a bad experience on it that might hurt future sales. If you're looking at your business and you're saying, well, hey, Hunt, you know, I need more cars. And then you take a look at this and you have plenty of cars, but your advisors are fumbling this. You got 10 phone calls coming in and one of those are turned into an actual appointment. You got an advisor that has a 20% close ratio. All of these things are going to be limiting factors, limiting to sales, and the financials look just like you need more cars, you need more advertising. Take a look at your numbers, take a look at your actual business and figure out, I have an issue with what and what is causing it. Sometimes you guys like to look at hours sold, total sales, whatever it is, and that's an advertising problem. And a lot of times it is, but a lot of times you guys are getting enough cars, you guys are getting enough demand, and you either don't have the team to be able to handle it in the front end or don't have the team to handle it in the back end. Let's say that you did go through all of this and you're like, Hunt, I understand this. My advisors are good. My technicians, you know, they're solid on here and I just need more cars. I hear this a lot and people come to me and they say, hey, how much should I be spending? All of that depends on how many cars do we want. If you're saying, well, hey, I just need to get one more car a month. Do you think that that's going to be the same advertising spend as if you need 20 cars a month? Do you think that your advertiser is going to use specific different mediums to advertise to your customers or prospective customers if you need to increase your car count by 5% or you need to increase your car count by 50%. Also, some of this stuff that you go back to them is saying, what are your short-term goals and what are your long-term goals? You might look at this and say, hey, in the short term, I don't really need that much, but over the course of the next year, I'm going to need to get a lot more as my team gets coached up, as I do an expansion or whatever. But the whole idea here is you need to go back to the advertiser and set expectations. I hear this too much. Oh, my advertiser, my advertising company's not getting me what I need. Did you ever actually tell them what you needed? Going back to them and giving them a hard goal of, hey, I need more cars, but I need to quantify that. If you don't quantify this, if you don't set expectations, you can never really judge your advertising or really try to figure out the overall value. If they were to come back to you, there's really a couple of different options here on what people are doing. In the short term, the most common thing that we see advertisers doing is going to be probably Google. So search engine optimization, AdWords, and all of the things like that. The longer term stuff is going to be radio ads, TV ads, direct mailers, and some sort of brand marketing. Most marketing plans are probably a mixture of two. You need something out there that's going to be in front of customers if you're doing a ton of advertising, try to grow a lot. And then in the short term on this, some of the more direct or instant action stuff like Google and Facebook and social media ads are going to get customers to ring. There is some people that say, I don't need long-term advertising. And I have a lot of customers that don't ever do coupons. They don't ever do mailers. They don't do billboards. And what they do is only short-term advertising. For 10 months out of the year, we are pretty darn busy and arguably really, really busy. But 2 months, we get slow. If you are setting these expectations, if you are being honest with your marketing company and your advertisers on this, they are going to be able to work out a plan for you. They are going to come back a lot different if you say, I need 5 cars a month and I need that to increase. That's going to be a lot different strategy than if you go back to them and say, hey, I'm trying to get ahead of this year. January and February are really slow for us. What can we do to try and stave off our car count issues for those months? Again, is the car count issue the real limiting factor on those months and why we're down? Who knows? But if you don't set these expectations, there's no way that you can ever go back to these vendors and say, you are not living up to my expectations. You didn't give me enough cars. Well, if you never told them how many cars you need, how could you go back to them and say that? The big question on this is, how do we analyze our advertising spend? I've talked about this, that 3-6% is generally a rule of thumb. And if you're in that range or above it, and it kind of makes sense to what the client is doing, then it's going to pass the smell test. But if you actually want to go down here and figure out if you're getting value from your advertisers, how do you do that? So the first key point here is whenever I look at advertising, I really don't even look at percentages. I don't even really look at dollars. I look at value. Are you getting value out of this? I'll give you a great example. So let's say that you go out and you spend $10,000 on advertising, but maybe advertising wasn't even your pinch point and you're not going to get any additional cars out of that $10,000 of advertising. Do you think that you got any value out of that? No, you got zero. Or let's say, hey, you went out and spent $10,000 and it came back and it gave you $10,000 in sales. Again, I'm going to say that we didn't really get much value there either. But if we're judging the same business, the same sales, the same ratio on that same $10,000, what if that $10,000 brought me in 20 grand? What if it brought me in $30,000 in sales? Taking a look at the dollars and cents on your advertising is a really, really kind of oversimplification of a way to do this. If you do this, you might end up cutting things that are expensive, but actually driving the most value. If you take a look at Yelp, and Yelp is $800 a month, and it gives you 5 new clients, I don't care how much you dislike the company, it's giving you great value, and I will spend $800, maybe even $8,000 if I think that I can scale this. So looking at the hard dollars and cents on here is sometimes a little bit misleading. If you want a rule of thumb on this, you generally have to sell twice as much in sales to cover the cost of advertising. If you're looking at something and you want a rule of thumb here, if I'm spending $3,000, how much in sales do I need to just cover that? It's usually double. So if I get $6,000 in sales, half of that turns into gross profit. That gross profit pays for my advertising. So I look at that as treading water. The longer answer on this one is going to be, am I willing to actually do this at a discount because these customers are going to come back, the lifetime spend? Yes, there is much, much more to be kind of talked about here, and there's a lot more numbers to go into this, but we're just getting on the basics here, guys. You came to this episode thinking, what is a rule of thumb as a percentage of sales on here? We're already kind of bursting that bubble. We don't need to go into customer acquisition costs, lifetime value of the customer, but these are all the things that you would really want to understand. How much it costs to get me that customer? How much does that customer spend with me? And how long are they going to be here? To give you a little bit of a taste on this, if it costs you $250 to get a customer, but you know that that customer is worth $10,000 for you, you're going to spend $250 until you can no longer get any more customers. Because if your customer acquisition cost is lower than your lifetime client value, then you can't lose on this. Yeah, in the short term, I could be spending too much, but he's going to be a customer for 5 years and continue to come back, continue to spend money with me, and continue to be profitable.
Are you tired of spending endless hours searching for the perfect talent to join your team? Promotive is your full-service automotive staffing solution. At Promotiv, we believe in being more than just a recruiting agency. We become an extension of your team, working tirelessly to ensure we place the right talent with the right shops. With our always be recruiting mindset, we're constantly seeking out the best professionals in the industry. We manage 90 to 95% of the recruiting process, taking the burden off your shoulders. When you partner with Promotiv, you gain a dedicated recruiter and account manager who will work closely with you, understanding your unique requirements and seeking out candidates who fit seamlessly into your shop's culture. We'll ensure that every candidate we present is thoroughly vetted and aligned with your needs. With Promotiv, you'll have a peace of mind knowing that we're handling the recruitment process with expertise and precision. We don't just match resumes, we match character, culture, and long-term success. Visit our website at gopromotiv.com today and experience the power of Promotiv's expertise and dedication. Together, we'll build a stronger and more successful team.
Every month, auto repair shops can lose over $20,000 in uncredited parts, cores, and lost profits. Wicked Files' AI-powered software is a game-changer. It helped one shop owner recover over $10,000 in missed credits, and others have recovered tens of thousands more. Wicked File puts cash back into your business and hours back into your day. Stop leaving money on the table. Visit wickedfile.com to learn more and get started today. If you want to go back and say, well, they don't necessarily give me the sales amount, or I'm not sure where it goes, or I want to look at this as car count. Another way to think about this is break down that sales target into car count. And this is where it gets different for you guys. Let's say that we're using that same example of, all right, I'm spending $3,000 in a month. I know that it needs to get me $6,000 in sales, but that's kind of an abstract figure. If I look at this and say, well, hey, let's put this into car count views. All right, if I spend $3,000 with an advertiser, and my average repair order is $1,000, then I can go back to the advertiser and say, fine, I will give you $3,000, but six cars will pay for you guys. It's only in 10 plus that this really is giving value to me. If you can go back to the marketing company and give them that, that is really, really good information that they're going to use and know how to set expectations for both of you guys. If you're thinking of that same, you know, kind of example on here and your average repair order is only $500, then you would need 12 cars to get you that same $6,000 in sales. Looking at this, your sales target is going to probably be the same, no matter what your shop is. If you're spending $3,000, you want to get double back just to cover your cost. But how you do that, how many cars it takes is going to change depending on what your repair orders are. In a longer sense of it, it's probably going to change based on what your margins are here. But right now, I just want you to kind of get that idea of, all right, let's translate this to sales, and then let's start breaking this down with other people. Generally, advertisers don't talk sales, they talk cars. We can also track cars, we can track new customers, and all of the things above. How do we use these numbers? All right, now we have these figures, right? And I know that I'm spending $4,500 a month on this, and hun, I've came back and I've realized that that is giving me $10,000 of sales, or hey, I was expecting to give me 20 cars and I actually got 24 cars. We kind of have two different things here. What if expectations are better than we expected or they're above? And what happens if it's below? If I go back to this and I take a look at, let's just use Yelp. I honestly don't like Yelp that much. It's a pretty bad company, but for a lot of you guys, it really does work. So let's go back and use that same example and say, all right, I went and I spent $3,000 with Yelp and they gave me $15,000 in new sales. If they exceeded my expectation, then I'd probably go back and say, if I need the cars, this is actually overperforming. I'm going to shift some of my lower performing advertising dollars over to Yelp, right? If I look and I say, hey, I'm getting a 4-to-1 return on investment of my Yelp money, and I'm getting a 50 cents on a dollar return on my billboard, am I going to continue to pay for that billboard advertising, or I'm going to shift those dollars over to Yelp? What you might end up figuring out is that your overall advertising budget is looking finer. The ratios are in line, but generally what's going on there is you have some underperforming products and some overperforming products. So looking at this, and this is what I usually call the shotgun approach, if you're just getting into advertising, you need to figure out where your customers are. Some places they're on Yelp, some places are on Google, some places they react to direct mail, some places they react to commercials. And if you've never done this before, you probably don't know what's going to work, and so you have to try a number of different models. And like I said, if you notice that, hey, this is working and it's above average or just good, I'm going to probably keep on going here. What happens if I take a look at this and it's below? We know if these advertising dollars are exceeding our expectations, then we're probably going to continue to use this. If it's below, you might be able to have the same logic of, I'm probably just need to cut that expense. One thing you have to realize here, though, is some of these things work faster than others. If you just started doing this and you're taking a look at this for a direct mail campaign 45 days in, it's not been enough time. So a lot of this time you have to wait. Most advertising companies for a lot of these plans are talking 90-day turnaround. So the first thing on this is, if you're judging this, are you giving it enough time? And if it's good, then you're probably giving it enough time because there's not really any concern there. But if it's below your goals, then you might need to be a little bit more patient. Sometimes the worst thing that I see on people is they have, you know, kind of ADHD on advertising. They try this, they try that, they try this, they try that, but there's never enough continuity for the advertising to actually work. So if you look at it, hey, the dollars and cents are probably fine. The methods that you're using are probably fine, but you're losing interest and not letting these things work to fruition. This wouldn't be happening, though, if you'd set the expectation with the advertisers, because they would give you these goals. If you go back to them and say, hey, I need 50 cars 6 months from now, they'll probably be honest with you and say, hey, we might get 2, 4, 6, 10, 25, 80, right? It starts to really trend up when they think that these advertising are going to start working together. Looking at this and making sure to set goals in the short term and the long term, not only for yourself, but some of your advertising, is the best thing to do. The big thing on here that I have to stress is, a lot of you guys are not doing this correctly, but you cannot do any of this stuff if you are not tracking your lead sources. So when I pull up your shop management software and I say no source on all of this stuff, we don't know if our advertising dollars are working. Do not trust a company that is giving you stats on their website about how much their advertising dollars are making you. It's not that they're doing anything malicious. Some of them might be, but they don't have these numbers. How is someone that handles my Google AdWords that has no access to my shop management software going to tell me how much my ad dollars are making me in money? They just don't have the information. They have guesstimates. They know what an average customer is spending, but they really don't know. And the even cooler thing about this is, when you get really, you know, kind of more involved in the advertising, what you're going to figure out is that not all new customers are created equal. Hey, this advertiser is bringing me in new customers, but they are actually not spending any money with me. So you could have one advertiser that's bringing you 10 new leads a month, but those people always come and go for an oil change. I will tell you, hey, that's great that you got 10 new cars, but that's probably not the 10 new cars that you wanted. Compared to maybe you have another more targeted source of advertising that's really going after your A-class customers, that same one's only bringing in 2 cars, but both of those people are spending upwards of $1,000 with you. Analyzing this stuff of not only how much of these cars coming in, how much are they approving, what kind of cars are they driving, you're going to really start to figure out not only how many cars that you want, but what kind of cars, what kind of clientele, and really tweaking this model until it's exactly what you want. The last thing that I will say on here is, advertising is very dependent on where you are. There's going to be people that come out there and say, it does not matter. Advertising is advertising. I don't care if your shop is in a business park, your shop is in a main drag. I don't care if you have good reputation. I don't care if you're in a college town or whatever. If you're in a place, if you're in a small town where everyone knows who you are, not a whole lot of people move in and out of there, it should be very, 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 very rare for you to be spending a large amount on advertising. People know who you are, and if you do enough good work, you should have pretty decent repeat customers and pretty soon reach capacity. So I've heard people talk about this, that a real good shop shouldn't be spending more than 2% of sales on advertising, and I would tend to agree. But that would be a really well-run shop that doesn't necessarily want to grow a significant bit. You could have the best shop in the world that's been around for 40 years, but if you significantly want to increase your sales on it, there's probably no way around it than doing some advertising. But if you want to look at that from another way, is, what is cheaper? To keep your customers happy and make sure that they come back so they don't need to get more customers, or to advertise and get new customers in the door? It's always going to be cheaper to keep your existing customers. You already have the expectations. They already know how that you work. But the natural swing is, you're always going to need new customers. The controllable here is, if you can improve on your customer experience, on how much your clients are coming back to you, then you could end up getting free advertising. Wouldn't you like to cut the amount of clients that you lose in a year by half by delivering what you want, giving the clients more value? If you did that, then you would probably be able to cut your advertising budget in half because you don't need as many new customers. The same thing talking about where you are. Location, location, location. If you're in a small town, you're on a main drag, everyone drives past you. They know where you are. They see the neon sign. They see the cars in the parking lot. You're not going to have to advertise as that guy that's buried back in the business park. Anyone that tells you this is no different anywhere else, they're lying to you. If you're talking to a guy in rural Indiana, what works with him on how much he's spending on advertising, I will argue it has absolutely nothing to do with your business that works on European cars in South Florida. This is so location by location specific, it's not even funny. To wrap all of this up, I have some homework for you guys. We've talked about rules of thumb, and you now have that 3 to 6% in your head. And what I want you to go is, first and foremost, is I want you to go and see if that matches what you're trying to do. Like I said, if you're spending 7% of your sales on advertising and you don't need any new cars, I can almost guarantee that something is a little wonky there. And the same flip side, if you're spending 1% of your sales and you are clamoring for new cars, you're probably just as misguided as the other shop. The realistic situation, though, is everyone else in between probably has more work to do. Go down, analyze your spend, see what's working, see what's not, see what's bringing in the right customers. And if you have a vendor or a specific mode of advertising that's not working, there's no reason to go and fire them, because a lot of you guys have not set the expectation. If I went out and I hired a direct mail campaign on it and it did not live up to my expectation, the first thing that I'm going to do after listening to this episode is say, did I actually set the expectation with them? What you find out a lot is you're saying, no, I gave them a dollar that I wanted to spend. And what you might realize is the dollars that you gave them make sense for what they're giving you. And so in a situation where maybe they're giving me half of the desired sales that I want, as long as they're giving me value on the money I'm spending, then I need to go back to them and say, the reason that you're only getting me 5 cars, I'm only giving you $2,000, right? I'm still getting good value out of $2,000, but I really need 10 cars. So instead of going out and trying to find another advertiser that's going to be able to do more with less, then I need to go back to them and say, I need to give you guys some more money so you can do more ads, do more postcards, or whatever it is. But remember, guys, advertising is not easy. This stuff is always constantly evolving. If you are growing your business, this is going to be something you're looking at every 90 days, whereas if you have an existing business on it, might not be something that you have to do all the time. But if you're not analyzing this stuff, if you're not making sure that you're getting value and tweaking your advertising dollar, at least periodically, there is no way that you couldn't be overspending on your advertising dollars. As always, please share with your friends. If you have any questions, comments, or ideas for a future episode, shoot me an email at podcast@parmelis.com. Just want to say thanks again for listening on the Aftermarket Radio Network. You can find all shows on the aftermarketradionetwork.com and on your favorite podcast listing apps. Thanks again for joining me on Business by the Numbers. Stay safe out there, and I'll talk to you all next week.
You've been listening to Business by the Numbers with Hunt Demarest on the Automotive Repair Podcast Network. Download our exclusive podcast app at automotiverepairpodcastnetwork.com, because the best conversations in the industry start here. Have a question for Hunt? Check the show notes for Hunt's email or text Parmelis at 301-307-5413.